Vayetze and Vayishlach are pretty much one sugya. So although we've got Vayetze behind us now, we're heading towards Vayishlach, we have to take the sugya as a whole. And I'd like to get a little better understanding of the sugya of Yaakov Avinu, the way the Torah teaches it to us in these parshiyos. In Vayishlach, you have this contrast, Chazal pointed out, between Yaakov and Esav. Esav has Rav, but Yaakov has Koil. So Yaakov comes across as somebody who is easily satisfied. The emes is that we're not surprised at that, because we've so often mentioned now the chalukah which they made in the Rechem by Rivka, that Yaakov gets Olam Habo and Esav gets Olam Hazeh. So the emes is that Yaakov has bichlal no dinim in Olam Hazeh. And whatever he has, he gets on sufferance from the Ribbono Shel Olam. We talked it over a lot of times, Ki Chanani Elokim. Yeah, the Ribbono Shel Olam was a chanino. The Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever I have is a chanino from the Ribbono Shel Olam, because it's not magiyali. I don't deserve it, because my chelek is Olam Habo. So mimele, whatever I have on sufferance. So it's understandable that Yeshli Kol, whatever I have is good. That is what the Ribbono Shel Olam gives me. So that's fine. I don't have this craving to increase my property all the time. And now it's bothered me for years and years and years and years. How do we square that with this whole mahalach of the sheep? Like, it sounds like such a strange thing. I don't know, but we have learned it every year. But it's not what I would expect. I don't know. I know that if somebody were to ask me in Eitz HaTorah, you know, I'm a shepherd over there, and I negotiated for getting only the speckled sheep, and I know this trick with the maklos, and I can make that instead of getting a 10 sheep, I can get 500 sheep. Should I do it or not? I don't know. I think the mashgichim which I've had in my life would have put their arm around my shoulder and said, Yanka, Moshe, you don't need to do that. It's a psadrei. It's not what he expected. So why do you have to go like and do something which is sort of underhanded? Don't do it. You'll get on without the sheep. But obviously that's not what happened. Yaakov did it. I wondered sort of like just as a simon ledova. I wonder whether when he was mefatzel, when he peeled the sticks over there to make sure that the children of the sheep should be such and such and such, so did he get Reuben and Shimon to help him? I mean, they were already 6-year-old, 17-year-old boys, 7-year-old boys, so they were able to do that. Was he proud of what he was doing? Is that really what you're supposed to do? No, the Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu did it, so of course it is. So the Shaila is, so how does that stim? It seems to go against the chinuch that I've received in the yeshivas, and I think that the kind of chinuch that the yeshivas try to give the bachurim nowadays, you don't have to go and do underhanded things in order to increase that and have more sheep. I mean, what's really going on? And that led me to wonder in general what the Torah teaches us as far as luxuries are concerned. Good food, fancy clothes, are they absolutely bad? Are they okay? Is it b'di'evet good? Is it l'chatchila good? Certainly nobody to criticize anybody, but sometimes you go to these chasnas and they're so fancy, and they're so, I mean, obviously they're not fancy relative to some other chasnas, probably some people have much, much fancier. After all, though, it is fancy with the flowers and the bands and the food and the this and the that. Is that a Jewish thing? Is that something which is l'chatchila by Yidden? What made me think of that especially? You must all be, those of you who are listening to the Shia and have listened in the past, you must sort of be a little bored already with the Chazon Ish in letter 20 in the Igros Chazon Ish in the first chapter. But again, so what are the Hanhogas which he says, Leben Yeshiva Echad? So what are the Hanhogas? So Hanhoga number one is Lizoya Ma'oid Ma'oid Me'achilas Tanuk. Don't have an achilas tanuk. Don't eat what you enjoy eating. Ve'im betumas haguf yesh rishon letumah v'yesh ava tumah v'yesh avi avos. B'tumas ha-nefesh shel miloy ha-tava v'achilas tanug mis'ached rishon ha-tumma v'ava tumma v'avi avois ha-tumma. It's a terrible thing. To eat something because it tastes well is horrible. Dovo ze min ha-shefolim me'od. It's lowly. If you sort of see you're by Chasna and you go by the Shmog and there's this and that which you like very much, and you go and you find yourself a plate and you find yourself a fork and you eat it because you enjoy that. So he says, Zui min ha-shefolim me'od ma'aklim es ha-limud u'kud omru b'medrash v'huvu b'toises k'subus ad sh'odo mispalel sh'yichnus u'divrei toiro l'sach gufay ispalel sh'lo yichnusu ma'adanim l'sach gufay. V'omru, and further on they say in Gittin Ayin Omet Aleph. Now this is it's a chiddush what the Chazon Ish says over here. Su'udosro sh'hano osro he'meno m'shoich yotro he'meno. A suda which you feel would give you hanor because you like very much that which is being served, meshoich yotcho hemeno. Stay away from it. Don't eat that. Now, I don't understand the Chazon Ish, to be completely honest. Not about his shitter. The Chazon Ish tells us what is the emes. I have nothing to say about that. What I have to say about is that this sugya which he brings, that su'udotcho shano oscho memeno, is meshoich yotcho hemeno. It's in the Gemara. It's the Gemara in Gittin Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, and it doesn't sound like what the Chazon Ish says. It seems to mean over there the Gemara is talking about the things that are healthy and which are not healthy. So what does it say over there? It says that you shouldn't fill up your stomach too much because then you get sick and so on and so forth. So here Tana Rav Chiya Horeitze Shelo Yovo Lidei Choyli Me'ayim Yehi rogel betibul kayetz v'choyrev. That's one good aid, so not to become sick. And second one, su'udosro shahanosro mimeno meshoch yotro emeno. So Rashi says shahanosro sh'ovoloch, but you like this food very much. Meshoch yotro emeno shelo tumale es kreischo. Don't sort of tuck into it, because that way you're going to fill your stomach, and the whole Gemara is over there dealing with the fact that a stomach which is full is not a very healthy thing. So it doesn't seem to be what the Chazon Ish, at least if I understand him correctly, seems to be saying, that it's a hanhoge in life. Don't tuck into something that you like. It's not nice, it's not Jewish, it's not a toiletic way to go and gobble down something just because you like it. And forget, if you see that this Suda promises a delight, so don't eat it. They serve ice cream as a dessert by the Sheva Brochas, so don't eat it. That's what the Chazon Ish sounds like, and I don't think that in its mocker that's what it means. It's a hanhoga of health. But the Chazon Ish apparently holds that what he's saying, or what he seems to be implying, I don't know whether I'm learning right or shut, but what it sounds like that he's saying is that that's bichlal. So it's not good. If we are, this is number one. This is etzah number one, which the Chazon Ish, like it seems that if he would have only had ink for one etzah instead of six, this is the one he would have said. You want to be a matzliach as a ben Torah, don't eat what you enjoy eating. I mean, how does that stim? So maybe Suda's mitzvah is different, but I mean, essentially, from a shitter point of view, I mean, what is it? Are we supposed to enjoy Olam Hazeh? Is it okay to enjoy Olam Hazeh? Is it not okay to enjoy Olam Hazeh? It's difficult to have such a musik. And getting back to Yaakov Avinu, what's so important about having another 5,000 sheep? I mean, is that something which was ma'asik him? Well, we think about the Chofetz Chaim, we think about the Chazon Ish, we think about the Stakler. I mean, can we see them sort of standing there and peeling sticks so that they should get more sheep? What is the Torah telling us over here? And even if it was the right thing to do, and it was an okay thing to do, a lechatchiladik kind of thing to do, given the circumstances, vayachaleves maskut, yaseres mayim, I mean, loven was loven. So maybe under those circumstances it was alright. So, but why does the Torah have to tell us about it? Elamai, the Torah is telling us that it's all right under these circumstances. Ken sein, but the question, I don't know whether it says it in the Rambam. I mean, is this a halach? What is this? What is going on over here? That's something which I never really understood. I always loved how Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch on Thursday's Shir Shel Yoim, you have this beautiful posuk, and the way that the Rishonim learn over there, it bothers me a little bit. But the Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, like he says a mahalach in the psukim over there, which I can hear. I mean, you're not making a machloikas between Rashi and Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, but listen to what's going on over here. What does it say over there? It talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Edus b'yosef somot v'seisal eretz Mitzrayim shvasla yodati eshma. Right, it's talking about Mitzrayim. Hasiroisi misev el shechma. I took your shoulders away from having to bear the heavy loads. Kapov their hands midud ta'avona. I kept them away from the challenge pot. Hasiroisi misev el shechma. Shechem is a shoulder. So I took away your shoulder while you were slaves. So you had a sabal. Sabal is a red cab in the airport. So it means a guy who carries the bags for you. So Hasiroisi misev el shechma. Kapov midut ha'avona. So Rashi learns, and I think Radak, I think also saw over there, says, what does it mean, cup of medutah bono? Now you don't have to cook for your owners anymore. Your hands don't have to deal with pots, because as a slave you had to cook for the master. So now that hasiroisim misevel shichmo, now that I made you ois eved, you're not an eved anymore. So kapov midud ta'avona. Now you can take your hands away from the pot, and you don't have to cook for your master anymore. Is there anything wrong with that? I don't know, but it just sounds strange, because if there would have been a remes anymore, maybe there is, I just don't know about it. But if there would have been a remes that part of the slavery in Egypt, a central part, an important part of the slavery in Egypt was cooking for the owners, so that would have been a very appropriate thing. You see, like all the time you had to cook, and now you don't have to cook anymore. That's not how I learned. I always learned shot in the Pasuk, the building and building and building, and the bricks and the mortar and the hin and the hair. Nobody said anything about cooking. At least, again, I don't know. I just don't remember that I ever learned such a thing. So why Dafka pick that? Your ois eved, maybe you don't have to cook for your master anymore. You could have said you don't have to polish his shoes anymore. What's going on? Shamshon Hirsch learns differently. He says, I made you ois eved. You know what's going to happen? Now you can stop looking at the pot. As an eved, that's all you ever think about. An eved, he has no freedom. He makes no decision. He's downtrodden. He's this. And his only neshama is that maybe for supper he gets a warm plate of soup, or he gets a plate of cereal or something like that. So he gets something to eat. So his whole mind is constantly focused on the food. And the symbol of freedom, not because they cooked for people, but because as avodim, living these hopelessly horrible lives, they were so focused on their food that that's what they thought about. Nevuch, how Yidden had to go through in so many different matzavim. And that's how it was. They were starving, and they dreamt of food. And that's what the Rav Hashem says, you know, the moment I took you out of Mitzrayim, you can forget about it. Forget about the challenge, forget about the pot. It's okay. That your life is broader than that, is bigger than that, is wider than that, is deeper than that. Let the pot sink into insignificance. So what's this business with eating? Should we eat? Shouldn't we eat? Is it okay to eat? Is it not? Should we enjoy the eating? Shouldn't we enjoy the eating? Should we want to have thousands of sheep instead of hundreds of sheep? Is that something? Is that legitimate? Should we want that? Should we not want that? It's something which I've been thinking about. Found a Maral, and it's really pretty myrdic when you think about it. It's in Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Chof He. Very, very interesting. So he talks about why by Tiferes Yisrael is about Matan Torah. So he talks about Shavuos. So why by Shavuos we have the Shtei Alechem, which are Chometz? Normally, that anything which has a din of Korban, weren't allowed to make Chometz. The Menachos and so on and so forth, they weren't allowed to be Chometz. So here, the Shtei Alechem were allowed to be Chometz. And the question is, why? So the Maral over there has two Mahalchem. He has more than two Mahalchem. The two I copied on were these two Mahalchem. And especially the second one is a wow shabbat wow. It's really unbelievable. So I'll read the first part of to you first. It says, "Umsechus kedushin v'samtem sam tom nimshlo toigo b'sam chayim. Toigo is a sam chayim. Moshe le'odam shehikras b'noy mak gedoyle. He hit his child and he wounded him badly." And he put a medicine on that. You do whatever you want. But if you take away the medicine, you're going to get very, very sick. There's no bigger makkah than that. That's a horrible, horrible, horrible wound. Uborosi loy toiro tavlen, and toiro is the medicine against it. Kol zman sha'atem oiskim b'toiro, ein atem nimsorim b'yad yetzahora. Shneema haloim seitif se'ez, v'im ein atem oiskim b'toiro, atem nimsorim b'yodo, at kan. Now, upiris ze, ki lo yochoil yetzahora lishloit ala toiro. The yetzahora cannot rule over the toiro. Shehu seder hanimtsoim, the Torah contains that which makes the entire world function in its ideal state. Ashehem nivroim olav. Ulefivach haTorah hi tavlin leyetzahara. Why? She'eino yochol limshol al ha'odam ulehoitzi es ha'odam at sheyetzeh ha'odam chutz min haseder. Asheroi shezeh eino yochol. Because if the Torah is the only right way of living, that is the world which the Ribbono Shel Olam created, so the Yetzer Hara is going to come and say, go against the Torah. What do you mean, you're fighting the Ribbono Shel Olam? The Ribbono Shel Olam said, this is the Seder of the world. So now you can't be Moshel on that. And that is why the Torah protects us from the Yetzer Hara. Doesn't mean that he can't make us do bad things, but that he should be Moshel on us, that he should take us and draw us out of the Torah, that he cannot have. The Yetzirah owes his existence to the Torah. Very interesting. He says, without the Torah, the Ribbono Shel Olam could never have given us a Yetzirah. He would have finished us off, 1, 2, 3, we would have been completely, like the whole thing would have been a wasted effort. It's only the giving of the Torah that made it Efsha to give us a Yetzer Hara also. Shloiho yochel odom lamod connector. Aber la teure hi shmiro min Yetzer Hara. Ule kach be yoy matan teure ho yo mevi em beis halechem sho ho yo shol chometz. Ki a Yetzer Hara hu se oya shabisa o mit zat a teure nimmt se Yetzer Hara. No, the Yetzer Hara is his favorite yontif is shruz. Why? Because we got the Torah. Oh, because we got the Torah, he has a job. Because now he can be a Yetzer Hara and try his best to do what he wants to do. V'im loiken, if the Ribbono Shel Olam had not given us the Torah, loy hoyo nimtso, then there wouldn't have been a Yetzer Hara. V'im neshein yocho lamad negdo. Oh, that's what the Maharal said. Very, very interesting. That, like I said, Shavuos is the Yetzer Hara's favorite yontif. It's not verkehrt. But it's the favorite yontif because it made it possible for him to have some kind of a function. That's explanation number one. And that's why we have chometz. And the emes is, you have to be meirich just a moment in this, because chometz, matzah, Maral is so meirdik on chometz and matzah. See, we think that matzah is simply bread that isn't chometz. That's how I always thought. But I saw now recently in the Maral not that way. That matzah has its own value. Matzah has to be fast, and otherwise it turns into chometz. And that fastness is because the Ribbono Shel Olam is personally involved, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is lemailo min hazman, time is meaningless lagabe the Rabbi Nisham. So the Rabbi Nisham's actions are always immediate, and therefore the closest we can get to godliness is through the matzah, where everything has to go quick, 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 quick also. So saying that on Yontov, on Sukkot, you can bring chometz. So chometz is what? Chometz is like real physicality. That's beautiful. Takes time, take your time, let it rise, let it be soft, let it be light, let it be delicious. Yeah, that's chometz. So what's that doing in the Beis HaMikdash? Matzah is a godly thing. So that's alright. But chometz? Oh, that's the Yetzer Hara, he's celebrating. Because Shavuos is a yontif for the Yetzer Hara. Why? Because this put him into business. That's number one. Number two, the Maharal says in the same sentence. I said two before, I really meant three. Number two over here is, Oid Moire, and this is just unbelievable. Oid Moire ze, ki ein zorech lehachik oisoi im ha-teure. Wow. So the shmog is okay by a chasna. If you're a ben teure, apparently it's okay. I don't know how much of a ben teure you have to be. He says that if you have teure, then you don't have to be machik the Yetzer Hara. That's what one of the things I wanted to mention. In other words, is it good to indulge? Is it good to enjoy food? Now, what the Chasam Ish meant, I don't know exactly. He's talking to a Ben Torah. Leven Yeshiva Echad. I guess he's Ben Yeshiva, it's a Ben Torah. So, what does he say? That run away, as soon as it tastes good, you should run away from it. It seems that the Maharal is saying that once you have Torah, so you don't have to run so hard. It's alright, you can indulge a little bit. I guess it's a matter of amount and a matter of this, but it's all very, 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 very interesting. What I really wanted to get to, though, was the next part of the Maharal, which is really, it boggled my mind. Listen to this carefully. Omnam, he said, Yesh oid tam l'ma shehoyu shtei alechem chometz. He says that there's another reason why we can understand that the shtei alechem were chometz. Ramzu Chachomim, the Chachomim were meramis to it, when they say Hakol Moedim Ba'atzeres the Be'inon Lachem, Shehu Yoim Shenitin Torah LeYisrael. On Yontov you're not allowed to fast, so there is a shita which says you couldn't either make it Kulel Hashem or Kulel Lachem, but not on Shavuos. On Shavuos there has to be also Lachem. Why? Because boy Nitna Torah LeYisrael, no Isvos. What does that mean? Why is the fact that Shavuos is the day on which we receive the Torah, that it's okay to, you have to also eat and be physically enjoying it? Listen to this, this is just beyond everything. Ki hayoim hazeh hatachtoinim heim ikka. The physical world is the ikka. Who has to go to him? The Rabbi Nishlam has to come to us, or we have to come to the Rabbi Nishlam. We have to come to the Rabbi Nishlam. V'yoyim hazeh, ho yupoinim, ho elyoinim, lutachtoinim. K'lichsiv, v'yeret Hashem al ha-Sinai. Ulefichach, v'yoyim hazeh, nivcha ha-chometz, she'odam, she'boy ha-chometz, ikka, v'yoyim hazeh. Physical man is the ikka, and the Rabbi Nishlalem with his whole Pamal Yishol Malo comes down here, doesn't tell us to come up to him. Bo yishtayim shtei alechem im shnei kifsei atzeres v'zeh v'ashlomim mipnei ki yoyim hazeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu ho yopoine el oylam hazeh v'loi nimtze b'chol hakabon shal metzivan so on so forth. Wow. Shavuos is the day to celebrate physicality. That is just beyond everything. Because the Torah wanted to give, the Rabban Shem wanted to give the Torah to physical people. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished when he went up and he argued with the Malachim. And I always said that's the pshat, that Echoyes B'Kisei Chavoydi, It's not the pshat that he needed siyata d'shmaya to answer the malachim. It was nishtazak loise londas that you need to tell the malachim that they weren't in Mitzrayim and they don't have an av ve'em and that there's no kinna. For that you don't have to hold on to the kisei hakovod. Moshe Rabbeinu holding on to the kisei hakovod was the Rabban Hashem's answer to the malachim. I want that a human being should be able to hold the kisei hakovod. And that is what the Maharal is saying. That Sukkah Shavuos is the day when the Rabban Hashem says, this is the entire purpose of the Bria. The whole universe in all its vastness, which of course we have no mussar on. It's all there. You know why? It's there so that you can eat cheesecake on Shavuos. It's just an unbelievable thing. The tachtoinim are the ikkum. See, and I think that is really the pshat in Yaakov Avinu. I think that's the pshat in Yaakov Avinu not sleeping in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Evim. Like, what's going on over there? Before, when he lived by Yitzchak, did he sleep ever? Doesn't say anywhere he didn't sleep. At least I don't know that he does it. It says it anywhere. So what was he, Dafke, like everybody says, Mistame he learned by Yitzchak also. I mean, he lives by Yitzchak, so Mistame they will, I don't know, but one supposes that he was learning in some form. We don't know what they were learning, the office, but whatever it is that they were learning, Mistame he learned by Yitzchak too. So the Welt says he needed to learn the Torah Sagolos. Fine, let's take that. It's a Mistabatika thing. It's a good thing. Let's assume it. It doesn't do any harm. So he was learning before also, so why Dafke here doesn't he sleep? I think that the reason why Yaakov didn't sleep was because he knew this Maharal, that with Torah you don't have to be scared of the Yetzer Hara. That means that by learning the Torah and by being misatzeim with the Torah, making that the Torah defines him, is who he is, and is memale his whole being. See, if he would have slept, that means that, okay, most of the time I'm a Torah dicker guy. Yeah, but when I'm sleeping, so I'm off duty. There was no off duty. There's some significance in the number 14. You know, it doesn't take much to see that it's twice seven, but I have no idea exactly what that's supposed to mean. But whatever it is, he said like this, I'm going to Lovan. Lovan is a Ramai. And this is going to be a big, big Nisoyan. And the Yetzer Hara is going to try and get me. I'm going to be the Av. I've said it so many times from Rav Hutner. Avraham is the first one who came. Yitzchak is the first one who remained. Yaakov is the first one who returned. I've got to return. Vayomer Yaakov Sholem. Yes, I have to be Sholem when I come back. Sholem Begufa, Sholem Bemamayna, Sholem Beteiroset. I think that Sholem B'Mamayna doesn't mean he had as much money then as he had before. You know, they all ask, what about the presents that he sent to Esau? So he missed that. So they say to Utsim. I think that whatever the tariff is on that, maybe there are two Utsim on that, but I think that Sholem B'Mamayna means that the moment didn't harm him. And that's the pshat with the sheep. He was Sholem B'Mamayna, just like Sholem B'Gufa, he was healed from the Tzalea Al Yerecha. So Sholem B'Mamayna and Sholem B'Tarosa means there was no pegam. There was no pegam. Hitaka did all kinds of hishtadlos in order to become rich, and richness was okay for him. And that's mamish the second thing which the Maharal says. Like I still can't get over it. Oid Moiro zeh ki ein tzorech lahachik oisoy im haToro. Once he has Torah, you don't have to be machik the Yetzer. It's unbelievable. That means somebody who really holds that he's taka aggressive ben Torah. I think by the Chassidish rebbes, I think there were rebbes who were noyeg with enormous ashiras. Others who were noyeg differently, but they had a shitter, I guess, for their avodas Hashem. That was what was necessary. That's this maral. If you are a rebbe so and so, and you're such a great person, so then you don't have to be machik the Yetzer Hara. I think that this Maharal explains my problem with the sheep. I want to finish this shiur with reading to you a little bit from Rav Shem Shapiro Hirsch on Shmini, because I think there's a very, very yesoidistic thing, and it says really a lot about Yiddishkeit, what a good Jew is supposed to be. He's talking here at the end of Shmini, when it deals with the Tumah and Tara. So he says this, listen carefully. He says, let us now picture to ourselves the laws of Tumah and Tahara in their full realization. He says, let's see how this really looked l'maisa by Yidden. True, these halachos are obligatory only as regards mikdash v'kodeshav. A non-kohen is permitted in his ordinary life to touch Tumah. It is not forbidden ligroim Tumah l'chulin sh'be'eretz Yisrael, Nidus 6b, to make ordinary foodstuffs tome, that's perfectly okay. Nevertheless, all of Israel would set aside bikurim, every year had to bring bikurim, every farmer, masasheni, v'chala, and tuma, all of which must be kept b'tara. So tuma and tara was a constant presence in everybody's life, not only in the Kohanim's life. Moreover, each individual is obligated L'taher es atzmoy berega, Rosh Hashanah 16b. The national ascent to the sanctuary three times a year laid the foundation from which the Tumah and Tahara laws spread throughout the life of the nation, as all things had to be safeguarded to maintain Tahara throughout the year on account of the requirements of those great festive weeks. We picture to ourselves the full life of the people, their work, creativity, and commerce, their national life and their home life, and we see that all this is under the rule of the Tumah and Tahara laws. We then begin to appreciate the ennobling moral influence of these laws upon the nation as a whole and upon the individual. The sanctification of man in moral freedom extends to all the works of his hands. Work and craftsmanship are put into the service of man's calling to become morally free and close to God. Shavuot has big shittas over what Tumah and Tahara is, so really you can't get the full impact of what he writes over here unless you've read the whole thing through to show how the laws of Tumah and Tahara are there to make us morally free. But what he's saying is that whatever toif the Tumah and Tahara laws extent is there for everybody, the most posh people. The chisel, which means the carpenter, and the needle, the tailor, the loom, the spinner, and the cooking pot, back with the cooking pot, all conform to law of morality, which from the heights of Mount Moriah sanctifies all of life. The lowliest working people, men and women, are uplifted by the awareness that their labor is a moral act, performed for a moral purpose, and that they are contributing to the fulfillment of man's mission in the spirit of the Torah which is enthroned on Moriah. Under the rule of the laws of Tumah and Tahara, vulgarity and brutishness disappear, self-deprecation and degeneration vanish, and everyone stands tall. I'm adding that. And everyone stands tall to create for the Torah a holy nation of holy people. So we find that at the dawn of our history, the spiritual elite of the nation, the Chaverim, lived all of life in compliance with the Tumah and Tahara laws, which the Torah prescribes only in respect to the sanctuary and its holy things. They would eat their ordinary, unsanctified food in the purity of Tara. They lived their whole life, even the life of the senses, as though they were in the environment of and in the presence of the sanctuary. In all their dealings, in all their contacts with people and with things, they were living reminders of man's holy calling. As early as the time of Shaul and David, we find even common soldiers observing laws of Tahara in their everyday lives. That's in Shmuel Aleph 20-26, 21-6. From the later verses, it is clear that they observed these halachas on the highest level of stringency. They ate the chulin not only al Tahara's truma, but even al Tahara's hakodesh. Hence, it says in the pasuk, "Vayu klei hanaorim kodesh." All the weapons, even of the soldiers, were all Torah. All the equipment was Torah, not only from the standpoint of Truma, but even from that of Kodesh, and so on and so forth. So what Rav Shmuel Hirsch is saying over here, and we would be well advised to take this it at too hard when we come to Shmini Mitzvah Hashem, is eating everything, like our lives today, because we're missing Tumen Tahara, we're missing so much. So we're really living a B'di'evad kind of Yiddishkeit. No, Golos is stuck in B'di'evad. The whole thing is a B'di'evad. But this shaila with which I started the shiur today, is it okay to indulge? Is it not okay to indulge? It's really the wrong question. We need to know that we're living in very unideal circumstances. And maybe the way things are, certainly we're not melamed chayvin anybody, and maybe this is the best that we can do. But it's kedai to think along these lines, like we thought today in the shiur, to get a taste of what it really might be like to live a fully Jewish life at the ideal level, not at the B'di'evadical level. And Vigdisha is Kedosh Yaakov, and Yaakov in his Kedusha knew exactly what he was doing at every single step of his life, and that is because he was able to lock himself away for those 14 years in the yeshiva of Shem and Eva.